I'm an addict. My name is Lee.
Hey, Lee.
This lady named Liz called and asked me to speak on surviving my emotions. So I don't get high. Thanks for letting me share. You know, I don't even know what that means. She said surviving your emotions, and I don't know what that means. I don't use over them anymore. Sometimes I fall apart. I mean, maybe that is survival. I don't fall apart. Not everything's a huge ordeal anymore. And, like, things have changed a lot. My first convention I came to was 3 years ago, and I had 5 months clean, and I was a mess. And I was not surviving my emotions very well. I wasn't using, but it seemed like I was always very, very lonely, and I was always crying a lot, and I was always consumed with guilt. And I just remember being very, very lonely and very much a part of, and this convention saved my life. Out of all the people who were here, like, I recognized, you know, like a couple people. And it just felt good to belong to something when I didn't belong for so long. And I've come here every year since then. This is my fourth convention. And every year, it's gotten better and better. You know, like, the whole surviving the emotion things. Like, everything's not an ordeal every day. Everything's not a crisis every day. But there were some things I had to learn how to deal with. And I learned how to deal with them, I think, by working the steps. I'm guessing so, because I've worked some steps and shit's gotten better. So when I first started coming around, I was consumed with, you know, like all that newcomer madness? Like, you want to have sex with everybody in the room because you're so lonely. And, you know, like, you dress up to go to every meeting because you feel so bad on the inside that you dress up the outside. And, like, I realized I was making progress when I started showing up to work in my work clothes. And I'm a gardener by trade, so if I come to work dirty, you know, I come from work dirty to a meeting, that's how I knew I had made a little bit of progress on the inside part, was I didn't feel like I had to dress up the outside so much. And I just recently finished my fifth step, and I've tried to get this many times before. And my pattern was I would work steps 1 and 2, and I'd get halfway through 3, and I was so terrified of what was coming in 4, I would leave. I would relapse. I would sabotage myself so I didn't have to take a real look at anything. And I did this over and over. So when I finished my third step, this time around, like, I knew something was going to be different. Well, one, because I finished the third step, and it seemed like I was ready to do the fourth step. And it took me like 15 months to do it. You know, like, I'd set it down and I'd pick it up and I'd do a question or two and I'd be crying so hard, or like in the resentment section, I'd be so damn mad, I'd slam the book shut and I'd be like, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It took me 15 months to get through that thing. And it's a funny thing was I was working on it last year at this time during the convention. And the message I heard all last year at the convention was, you got to do your fourth step or you're going to get high. And I believed that. I believed it, but I was too terrified to keep moving forward. But I just kept moving forward. I didn't feel like I had an alternative. It was either get through with the fourth step or I was going to die because I was going to use. So after that fifth step, you know, like you build these things up in your mind, how you think something's going to be. And I built this thing up in my mind like I was going to do this fifth step. And I was going to sob through the whole thing. I spent 7 hours with my sponsor. But I built it up in mind like I was going to be crying and carrying on during the whole time. And that did not happen. I mean, I cried a little bit. I had a little bit of, like, crying, you know, spells and stuff. But it was such a relief to get it done and get all that ugly shit out there. And there was so much ugly and, like, so much messed up shit in there that I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go through with the fifth step. But I just went ahead and did it, and I survived, you know. And I still don't even know what surviving my emotions is. You know, I don't even know why she gave me that topic. I don't even know what that means. You know, like, I'll say this 100 times. I don't know what that means. I just know that I call my sponsor. You know, I pick at my step work. You know, I'm still picking at my sixth step. You know, I just pick at it a little bit at a time. And I'm not as consumed with so much guilt as I was before. There was so much guilt and so much ugly before. You know, the first and foremost thing that I could not stop focusing on was the birth of my last child. He was born drug addicted, and he spent a month in the NICU because he was in such bad shape. And I could not stop punishing myself for this. And his birthday was March 25th. So this is my ritual, what I do every year. I just got through this, so I'll tell you about it, because I just got through it. Every year what I would do is I would start punishing myself from the you know what? His birthday is March 28th. I don't even have his birthday right. I start punishing myself from March 28th through April 29th because that's the time he spent in the hospital. I can tell you everything that happened every day. I can tell you, like, the first 2 days, they tried to detox him on his own, but it was bad. I can tell you, like, everything about everything that they put him on to detox him safely. And so what I would do is every year I would punish myself. I'd start this, like, ritual of rehashing it over and over again. And he just turned 5. And last year I noticed it got easier, but I never had a birthday party for this little boy. Because there was nothing to celebrate. This was my personal punishment to myself, that I was going to torment myself for an entire month after he was born. I go through the ritual. I didn't acknowledge his birthday. And I guess I just finally said enough is enough. I wasn't going to do that to myself this year. I mean, I would consume myself. When I say obsess it, I would look at his baby pictures, his newborn pictures, when he was dope sick in the hospital. Sick babies like that have a horrible red rash on their mouths because they ball up their fists and they rip their hands across their face because they're in so much pain. And I would look at these pictures over and over, you know, on the night he was born. And like, if there's a picture when he was 3 days old, I would look at the picture all day, like, you know, like 3 days after he was born. And I would do this for a month. And I just decided I wasn't going to do it this year. I had already done my fifth step, and I just made a decision that I wasn't going to do that this year, that his birthday needed to be celebrated. So like a month and a half for his birthday, I scheduled a birthday party. There was no backing out. I scheduled the birthday party and I paid the deposit up front. There was no way that I was going to be able to back out of this and do this to me anymore. And we went through at the birthday party, and you know what? Like, it's not even April 29th yet. He's not even out of the hospital yet 5 years ago, and I'm not doing this shit to myself anymore. I'm not doing this every day, crying, just this, it was very, very ritualistic what I did, and I'm not doing it this year, and that, it's big for me, you know, because, like, and I don't want you to be like, oh, I've forgiven myself, because, you know, I'm a great mom now. I haven't forgiven myself 100%, because I don't think that would be appropriate. I don't feel like I should absolve myself of that. It's something I've done, it's something I need to remember, so that that doesn't happen again. And I'm just over it. I'm over it. This has been, we celebrated his birthday, but like he didn't even know that his birthday wasn't even about him. Like he got all the presents and shit, but the birthday was about me not killing myself this year, doing that to myself. I have not looked at his baby pictures from 5 years ago at all this year. I have not opened them up and looked at them. I got 2 other kids. They're 13 and 15. The 13-year-old has fetal alcohol syndrome. And I'm trying not to punish myself with that one either. I don't have a ritual for her because I couldn't get honest that I drank when I was pregnant with her. I couldn't get honest about that till about 2 years ago. So I have no ritual for her. I don't know how I survive. I just do it because I don't want to die. I'm pretty sure if I use again, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. Because when I got here, look, I was never the skinny crackhead. Some of my old home group members are here. They can tell you. I came in here. I was big mama. I was huge. I was the fat crackhead who you knew was going to have a stroke in your house at any minute. I'm telling you, I was that big. I was that big that you knew, you know, like I was terrified that I was going to stroke out and somebody was just going to, you know, put me in a garbage dumpster somewhere, you know? You know, so I didn't come in here. Oh, my God. I just came in. I was a mess. You know, I was big. I was fat. I was unhappy. I was lonely. I was living in this house. My old sponsor used to tell me I lived in a crack house, and I took offense to that. It's okay. I can call it a crack house today. She said, you don't have gas, and you have broken windows, and there's crack in your house. You live in a crack house. There's no hot water. So I moved out of the crack house when I was 7 months clean. And I came here with 5 months clean, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to stay clean. Like, it was a full-on just-for-today commitment. Like, every day was just like, I'm not going to get high today. I'm not going to get high today. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get high down the road, but just not today. And I came here to this convention, and I left my son with his dad, who lived in the crack house. And he was a crackhead. And I came home after 3 days to a baby who had double pink eye, double ear infections. He was a disaster. The house was a disaster. It was a wreck. And I knew when I got home that I was moving out of that place. This convention sealed the deal for me that I was done and I was going to do this thing, whatever this thing entailed. I didn't know it was going to be such hard work. If they told me that 3 years ago, I might not have stuck it out. But I didn't know it was going to be so hard. But anything worth having is worth struggling for, you know? Like, you want something bigger and better, you got to struggle for it. So I moved out with 7 months clean. And it ends up being later that baby daddy, he's got like 2.5 years clean. He's working registration and shit this year, you know? It is a miracle, you know? Like, Narcotics Anonymous just spilled over into every aspect, you know? My girls live with my mom, and I have that little 5-year-old boy. And he's got a mother who doesn't beat him. You know, like, the girls remember being beaten, but AJ has a mom who doesn't beat him. And he's got a mom who doesn't throw temper tantrums anymore. I know I'm not the only, like, wall puncher and, you know, like, wall kicker. The old crack house had a lot of punch marks in it. And my house don't have no punch marks in it. I've been in this apartment for a year and a half, and I haven't had to replace one piece of glass or spackle one wall for a year and a half. That's a big deal for me. You know, I had to learn how to do some home repair back in the day. You know, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get my security deposit back at this place. Whoa. You know, I've never had that. I never had a utility bill. You know, like, when you get the utilities turned on, how you have to have, like, a security deposit for it? But, you know, like, if you're like me, you only stay there for a year, so you just don't pay the last bill and you never get the deposit. I got 2 electric bills in a row that were zero balance. It turns out I got my security deposit back. I was like, what? I get a security deposit back? Like, I'd never had one of those. These are all little small gifts of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, little stuff like that. I'm not rich. I live in a 1-bedroom apartment. A lot of people come here and they get rich. They get really good jobs and they get Escalades and they get the bling bling. Go to the dance. The bling bling is at the dance. I don't have the bling bling. I'm not at the dance tonight. You might not get rich if you come here. That's not a promise of Narcotics Anonymous. Some people do. And I didn't get rich. I haven't gotten rich yet. But I got some living skills and I got like a peace of mind inside. And you know how you don't want people to know how you feel, so you do the like the thug thing? You know, like, you pretend that you're really tough and I'm a thug and you know? I'm a thug straight out of Loudoun County, Virginia, you know? Anyone familiar with this area? There's no gangs there, okay? The median income is like $200,000, you know? But I got here and I was so afraid of you seeing me and seeing how scared I was that I put up this front. And I don't have to do that today. Not for the most part, you know. Like, I don't let everybody see me cry. But, like, I can cry today and I don't feel like a jackass, you know. I can call some people and tell them when I'm stuck or when I'm hurting or when I'm afraid. And I don't have to use over. That's the biggest thing, is not having to use over everything, you know? Like, everything in active addiction was all about, like, oh, my God, I broke my fingernail. We got to go to Alexandria, you know? Everything was such an ordeal. Everything. You know, and now today it's like, whatever, man. Whatever. Just roll with it. Just for today, just roll with it. And everything's just better. I love this convention. I could talk about this convention and nothing else for like the next 20 minutes. This shit saved my life. Being here saved my life. It sealed the deal for me. And I saw so much clean time up on that stage. You know, like, the lady who spoke tonight? She's in my old home group. That's my dog up there, right? And she was, oh my God, she was amazing. You know, like, you know, like at my first, like even my first two conventions, like you're listening to the speaker and you want to cry, but you don't want no one to see you cry. So you're like biting on your lip and you're like trying to pretend. I'd be like, oh, I got something in my contact lens, right? And because I don't want nobody to see that I'm a cry, that I got some emotions. But now it was like she was up there and, you know, like, you know, even when they do that drop down flag thing where they show you the new logo, I cry at that shit. That shit comes down, I cry. And my girl sitting next to me, she was crying too. She looks at me. Well, she cried over everything anyways. But she looks at me and she goes, oh my God, I'm sorry to cry. I said, that's okay, I am too. You know? You know, like I gotta keep my, you know, like I gotta be a strong one. But that kind of shit does make me cry today, you know? Like, you know, like good stuff makes me cry. There will be some days when I'm on my way home from work and I just get consumed by something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's God. I don't know. It might even be schizophrenia. I don't even really know. But I get consumed with something where I feel so blessed to be alive. And it's usually on a sunny day. And it's usually after I've worked so hard outside, like doing a new install or something for somebody's yard. And that's when I feel my best. Like for me, I don't get any closer to God than when I'm fixing up somebody's yard. For real, you don't get any closer to God than when you are working outside fixing some of his shit up that somebody messed up and let get all overgrown in a disaster. You know, that's when I feel best. And sometimes I just get overcome with, I guess it's gratitude. I get overcome with gratitude and I'll just start to cry for no reason. But it's a good cry, you know. And then there's times where I'm like sad and weird and I might cry about that too. You know, I don't really like, I'll admit it here, but. I'm gonna break his kneecap so he don't put that on a CD. So you don't have any proof that really happened, you know. But you know, like everything's just different. You know, like I'm smiling today. I'm smiling every day. Everyone says, "You're so happy. Why are you so happy?" Like they don't get it. They don't understand. You know, like I live in this neighborhood. This is where I can afford to live. Like I told you, you might not get rich. I live in an area. That is an open air drug market. It's right there. It's right there on the corner. It is there. And I go bopping through the neighborhood and everyone's like, girl, what you smiling about? And I'm like, they don't even get it. If I stop and tell them what I'm smiling about, that I'm not getting high today, they are not even going to understand what I'm talking about. They're just not going to get it, you know? So I usually just go around the corner and talk to the old ladies because they're always happy to see me, you know, because I help them with their gardens and stuff too. So, you know, like everything is not as important. You know, like everything is not this huge pressing issue. You know, where you wake up in a panic and go, oh my God, what am I going to do about this? Everything doesn't seem so horribly important and so panicked and so desperate. Like life doesn't seem desperate anymore. I'm not laying in bed at night feeling desperate, you know, like wondering, oh my God, I messed it up again. How am I going to pay the light bill? You know, oh my God, I messed it up again. I cashed a child support check. What am I going to do now? You know, everything doesn't seem so horrible anymore. Even when shit's weird or it gets bad or things get a little strained. Like I don't work in the wintertime, you know, my occupation, I don't work in the wintertime. And I kind of like it that way. But, you know, like, I have the ability. Did you know a drug addict can save money? They can save money. Come on, I save money to, like, I, like, save a little bit, like, every month to get through the winter because I have been, like, I've lived without, like, I live without hot water and heat for, like, 6 months in the wintertime. So, like, I ensure those things won't happen to my children again, that they will never ever live without utilities. I'm not even willing to give up the cell phone for real, you know? I will never live like that again. My kids will never live like that again. I will never be one step from homeless again. As long as I stay clean. I know people stay clean and they end up in shelters. I know that, but I believe if I keep doing the next right thing, I'm going to have a job next week. You know, I'm going to have a job to show up to. And as long as I keep doing the next right thing, you know, the bills are going to get paid. And, you know, like, as long as I keep doing the step work that I'm on, I'm going to be able to do, you know, like, next year I might be here and I'll be like, damn, I finally finished that sixth step. I was working on that for 15 months, too. You know, everything, all my old friends are, in jail or dead. You know, when you start going to funerals, it's sad. And the last funeral I went to, I almost stood up and screamed, "Who's next? Which one of us is next?" And I was the only clean one there. And I almost stood up and screamed, "Who is next? Which one of us is going down next?" Because everybody at that funeral was so messed up and so geeked out and late to the funeral. Of course. Yeah, a drug addict can't be nowhere on time, you know, especially to a funeral of a friend, right? And I just remember thinking, oh, my God, one of us is next. And it hasn't been me. And I'm pretty sure as long as I don't use, it's not going to be me. Not like that. I got kids to raise. I got to be to work on Monday, you know. I got shit to do. I cannot pick up again. And I've learned some coping skills. I think the medical community calls them coping skills. I'm not sure if I would call them that. You know, I'd call like getting on the phone in the middle of the night if I need to, or pulling out the step work I ain't touched in 2 weeks. You know, like helping a sponsee, even one that drives me crazy, really crazy. You know, like it's just doing the next thing, no matter what. I love being here. If somebody had told me 3 years ago that I would still be clean and I'd be here speaking like at a marathon meeting, I stay at these marathon meetings every year till like 3 or 4 in the morning. I get like 10 hours of sleep for the whole convention. I got to be at registration tomorrow by like 9 o'clock. Kenny, he wrote me into that. I know, you know, we got some sleep to do, right? But, you know, like, I can't, like, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing at this convention. If this is your first convention, fuck the sleep. You can do it next week. It is not important. You can stay up all night. You could get, like, 1 or 2 hours of sleep and be back at the convention hall by, like, 9 or 10. It'll be okay. Yes, I got home from my first convention with so little sleep that my roommate said to my baby's daddy, "She's coming home fucked up. Look at her. She's stoned." Because that's how messed up looking I was. Because I had gotten no sleep. This is your first convention? Man, you better stay up. You don't want to miss something. You might miss something that might save your life. And it's everywhere. You don't even have to hunt for this shit. There's like a bunch of workshops on it. Like, I mean, your biggest crisis here is going to be like, oh my God, there's 2 workshops I want to go to in the same time frame. So you go to one and then go buy the speaker tape, you know, the next day, you know, stay all night at the marathon meeting, you know. Go to the dance and shake your ass. It's a meat market up in there, too, for real. Stay. Do whatever gets you another day clean. Even if you got to hunt for it at the dance, okay? Whatever. 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 Whatever gets you another day clean and makes you look in the mirror and go, right on. You know? Right on. Because that's what... I don't look in the mirror. Some people are like this. They'd be like... I look in the mirror every day and tell myself, I love you. I do not do that shit. I would feel like that. I'd feel like that goofy guy on Saturday Night Live, that Stewart guy. I'm good enough and I'm smart enough. I don't tell myself that. But man, some days I look in the mirror and I'll be like this. Damn, look fine as shit today. I do that. I do that. It is the best I can do for myself is to look in the mirror. Tell myself that I'm all right, you know, and I believe it today. Like, I don't look there and be like the voice isn't always in the back of my head about you're dirty, you're nasty, you're a bad mother. Everyone already knows it anyways. Why are you trying to front? Why do you even bother to go to the meetings? Because everyone thinks you're a hoe anyways. You know, I don't hear the voice of that girl a whole lot anymore. I don't hear that. You know, I hear things like, man, that little boy really loves you, and he don't even know what you did to him, but he loves you no matter what. You might have to tell him what you did to him, because he's in special ed, and he might need to know, but he don't remember it, and all he's going to remember is a good mom. And when I'm with that boy, I feel whole. You know, he did it. I don't know. He did it for me. Something about that child. You know, I've never felt like he was my baby. That baby's a Narcotics Anonymous baby. He don't belong to me. He belongs to everyone in my area where I go to meetings. That child has, my God, everyone knows him by name. And he remembers everybody. And everybody loves us. That was the thing I remember the most when I got here. was everybody loved us. They loved us unconditionally. And I had to bring him to meetings, and they loved us. And I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, my God. Beautiful.